today as we come to the table.
Are we not living in a culture that has gone to sleep morally? Are we not living in a culture that has gone to sleep of right and wrong? We really are. Guys, the things we accept now, the things we see as normal, the things we watch, the things we do, it's just like the standard has lowered so much. I don't think we even realize how much it's been lowered until we hold up the Word of God next to it. And once we hold up the Word of God, we realize, wow, how we have fallen as a nation, how we have fallen as a people. And I think some of us should be challenged. Where are we in our walk with the Lord? What are we now watching? What are we now doing? What are we now accepting when used to it would shock us? That's the nature of sin. The more you allow it, the more deadened you become to it.
Morally, ethically, and spiritually, we have slowly started to accept what isn't honorable and glorifying to God. Sin has crept in and has polluted our minds, our families, and our nation. Sin is a sneaky weed that will sprout its roots deep down if we don't cut it out quickly and vigorously. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will challenge you to check your morals. What is your standard? What do you allow that isn't holy? If you honestly answer those questions, you will recognize your sin, and you will have a chance to pull up those weeds of sin before they grow any stronger. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 19, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
A lot of times, a lot of bad company you'd be found in those places. You didn't really want to stay there if you didn't have to. And so you would go and you'd kind of just hang out in the town square. And someone would see you hanging out in the town square and they come up and say, hey, who are you? And you're like, okay, any place to stay tonight? No. Come on back and stay at our place. Now, you might be thinking, how in the world could they do that and safety and they don't know this person? Well, it didn't always mean you stayed right inside the same quarters with the family. They oftentimes built onto their houses or had some extra place where they could stay. And so they'd give them a place to stay. If they felt there was any danger, they wouldn't have to be immediately with them, but they would offer them a place to stay. And so the fact that they didn't offer them a place to stay would immediately draw some suspicion in this Levite and those traveling with him, because, hey, why aren't these people inviting us in? Well, they're about to find out. Because this was no ordinary town. This was a town that had become extremely perverted and wicked. And the people of the town knew it, but of course the travelers didn't know it. And so when someone would come into town, if you took that person in and the town came around to do something wicked to the people that were in your house, guess who would also be a victim? Yes, your family would be a victim as well. So it was kind of like, you know what, I can't stop and help. Remember how it used to be when you'd see somebody broken down on the side of the road? And I know that we still do this from time to time. As God moves in my heart, I will, and probably some of you still do that. But when you see somebody broken down on the side of the road, especially in the middle of nowhere or something looks a little bit sketchy, you're not as bold to do it, are you? And the reason being is because it's gotten so dangerous. There are actually people that now will pull over and act like there's car trouble. One happened here just recently. They were acting like there was car trouble. Someone who was the Good Samaritan pulled over to help them. They pulled out a gun and robbed them. And so we live in a very different culture, a very different society where you have to even be cautious about what used to be general niceties. And the Benjamites, they were such a town that they were untrustworthy. And the town had become completely corrupt, and although it was normal for the town to rally around the visitors and bring them in, nobody does. And I don't know if this raised any suspicions or what he was thinking, but that's the case. And notice this, thinking probably they may have to spend the night in the open square, which is what they would do if no one took them in. Verse 16, just then an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim, a fellow Ephraimite. And he was staying in Gibeah. Doesn't tell us why, he was just staying there, working the fields, whereas the men of the place were Benjamites. So they were Benjamites. He was not. He knew what they were like. He saw these guys in the town square. He's not about to let them stay there because he has a heart and he knows what could happen to them. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, where are you going and where do you come from? And they said to him, well, we're passing from Bethlehem in Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim, and I am from there. So immediately thought, hey, another fellow Ephraimite. He said, I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and now I'm going to the house of the Lord. So I'm traveling back to the house of the Lord, again showing he worked there in the house of the Lord, which may be another indication it's very possibly the same Levite. Didn't have to be. But there's no one that will take us into his house. So again, I'm traveling through, and nobody will take us in. I don't know what the problem is. Although we have both straw and fodder for our donkeys, in other words, we don't need anyone to give us any supplies. We have all our supplies to take care of ourselves, and we have bread and wine for myself, so we don't even need anyone to give us any food. We have it for your female servant and for the young man who is with your servant. There's no lack of anything. So if you take us in, we're not going to be a burden to you. We just need a place to spend the night. And the old man said, peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. So very hospitable, very kind. He says, don't worry about it. I'll feed your animals. I'll give you food to eat. Only do not spend the night in the open square. Now, I don't know how he said that. He probably didn't say it too cautious, not to worry him. But he, in his heart, he's thinking, you can't stay in the open square. Because if you do, you're going to be openly attacked. I know something about this town that you don't know. They are not only morally corrupt, they're extremely morally corrupt. And you're in great danger. So he brought him into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet, and they ate, and they drank. And as they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door, and they spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to the house that we may know him carnally. And yes, it's exactly what you think it means. Bring him out so that we may rape him homosexually. That's exactly what's going on. And it's interesting, it says, as they beat on the door, they were beating louder and louder and louder. Does this bring any memories back to you from another town in Scripture that we're very familiar with, Sodom and Gomorrah? The exact same thing happened there. Now, you might think, how in the world did it ever happen in Sodom and Gomorrah that they could surround a home and want to homosexually rape someone that's a guest? Now, how is it happening again in Gibeah? They must have been a really perverse society or whatever. Listen, this happens to any society where anything goes. It eventually graduates to worse and worse immorality. And if you think that America can't graduate to this level of immorality, you're deceived. Because the heart of man is wicked. Who can know what the Bible says? And so we're all capable of going without Christ to the lowest levels of depravity. And now we see another town, in addition to Sodom and Gomorrah, going to that same level of depravity and surrounding the house, beating on the door and saying, basically, you know, we want those that are inside. We want to sexually abuse them. And again, not just sexually abuse the women. It's interesting to me, they didn't even ask for the women. It's like, no, we saw women. We know you have a virgin daughter. Is he about to announce that? They certainly knew that because they were from that town. But we also saw the woman that went in with him, but we want him. And again, it shows the level of perversion that the society had gone to. And so this man is going to do his best to protect him. And notice what he says. By the way, when you took someone in your house in that day, it was part of the culture. You protected them. You were saying, if you're staying in my home, you're under my protection. So for him to simply hand him over would have gone against every code of morals and ethics that the culture had. Even though the Benjamite had lost all those, the Benjamites, this particular man had not. And look at verse 23. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Now, it's interesting. Again, he has some level of morals, but his morals are not that good because look what he does in verse 24. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please, but to this man, do not such a vile thing. In other words, rape is bad enough, but at least, now this is horrible, but listen to what he's saying. At least let it be natural rape and not unnatural rape. Wow. In other words, it's the lesser of two evils. The rape is horrible, but if you're men and you're going to rape someone, at least rape women. Don't have men raping men. Now, how can you even fathom the level of depravity in that kind of mind? And you think about a man that would say, this is my virgin daughter, to hand them over to a bunch of rapists. By the way, ladies, be thankful that you live in America and that America was raised on the Word of God and the standards of the Bible. Because whenever you travel to other countries, even today, where they reject Jesus Christ and the Word of God, you are not treated at all the way you're treated in America. The women in other nations without the Bible and in other nations without Jesus Christ are under great oppression. As a matter of fact, you're treated not much better than an animal. Your head is going to be wrapped in a scarf. Sometimes your face can't even be shown. You have no rights. In some places, you can't even drive. If you're seen in public with anyone other than your husband, you can be executed. I mean, the bottom line is I oftentimes hear people say, well, Christianity is oppressive, you know. And you hear a lot of these kind of organizations, the Now movements or whatever, the women's lib type thing, and they talk about how oppressive Christianity is and how the women need to be free under the oppression of all these morals. Listen, without Jesus Christ, this is the judgment, this is the kind of treatment a woman can expect, because that is exactly what we see in the rest of the world where there are cultures that don't have Jesus Christ. He has elevated the woman to equality. He has elevated the woman to the place of honor where she's supposed to be. But when you get outside that environment and that culture, it's not that way. So be thankful for what Jesus has done and be thankful for what the Bible has done for women in general. And here they didn't have that. They weren't living by the Word of God. They didn't have these type of things that would keep them going the right direction. So again, the standards are so low, turn them over to be raped. You know, we're shocked at that, but guys, we're headed down the same path. Even rape is not seen as badly in America as it used to be. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. What do I mean by that? Guys, rape was one of the most horrible things that could happen in our nation, even when I was a kid. I mean, you could spend your entire life in jail for rape. And the Bible even goes farther and says when rape takes place, that person is supposed to be put to death. God says rape is a death penalty. And so America never got to that level, but we fell under it just that and saying, all right, well, you're going to prison either for life or for a long time. Maybe you heard what happened just this past month with this ex-Stanford swimmer that got convicted of raping this girl behind this dumpster. 20 to 30 minutes of abuse, he raped her. Actually had witnesses who saw it. Some man finally came and rescued her and made him stop. And they caught him and turned him in. He was proven guilty. The judge gave him 6 months in jail. 6 months for what the Bible says is a death penalty. Tell me our standards have not lowered. Tell me our standards have not dropped. And this is what happens when a society begins to accept a lower standard. Remember I said, whatever your leaders set, everyone comes under it. And now even things like that are not as bad. And so wherever the standard is, that's where the people are going to follow. And again, this was the standard of this culture. Everything was completely corrupt. It had been let go to the worst degree. And now they're wanting to, again, rape these men. And the dad here offers his own daughter and the concubine to them. Amazing to me, the level they had fallen to. And look at this, verse 25, it says, but the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. Now, the good thing is, at least the Levites stopped him from turning his virgin daughter over to these men. But now he takes this wife that he went down to rescue and bring back. He brings her back and turns her over to these. Can you imagine? Wow, thanks, honey. Appreciate the love you have for me, you know? Maybe you think that your husband's not doing so good. Well, he's doing better than this guy, I can tell you that. And maybe create a little bit of appreciation for what we have. So he took the concubine and brought her out to them. And look at this. And they knew her, that is sexually, they raped her. And they abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Guys, this is horrific. And this is the kind of thing where, again, when all standards are dropped, this is what takes place. You turn the flesh loose, and there's no stopping it. Again, that's my concern for our society today. Because now that we're getting to where anything goes, everything goes. And it's only going to get worse and worse. And don't think that we can't get to this level, because we can. And notice what happens. It says, then the woman came as the day was dawning, and she fell down at the door of the man's house where the master was till it was light. And when her master arose in the morning, he opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, and there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. What a pitiful sight. Abused all night, collapsed at the door, and he doesn't realize, actually dead. And notice again this very gentle and compassionate man. He said to her, get up and let's be going. Wow. Not rushing out and are you okay? And what happened? I mean, I can't even imagine how he slept that night. And he wakes up after his night's sleep and goes out and just says, get up, it's time to go. But there was no answer. It's because she was dead. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and he went to his place. And he entered his house, and look at this, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. Why 12 pieces? He wanted to send one piece to each tribe to get their attention. Do you think that would have gotten their attention? Absolutely. Now again, remember, a Levite was skilled in the animal sacrifice and cutting the animals up. And it's even recorded that in some instances in that culture, they would actually cut up an animal and send the animal around just to be a shock factor to get people to respond if something needed to take place as a culture, so to speak. But no one had ever taken a person and cut them up and sent them around. This is very grotesque. But again, that was his entire point. He wanted to so shock them because the nation had gone to sleep morally. The nation had gone to sleep about what is right and wrong, and he wanted to shock them awake. And by the way, are we not living in a culture that has gone to sleep morally? Are we not living in a culture that has gone to sleep of right and wrong? We really are. Guys, the things we accept now, the things we see as normal, the things we watch, the things we do, it's just like the standard has lowered so much. I don't think we even realize how much it's been lowered until we hold up the Word of God next to it. And once we hold up the Word of God, we realize, wow, how we have fallen as a nation, how we have fallen as a people. And I think some of us should be challenged. Where are we in our walk with the Lord? What are we now watching? What are we now doing? What are we now accepting when used to it would shock us? That's the nature of sin. The more you allow it, the more deadened you become to it. This man wanted to wake them up. He said, look, the nation is asleep. He himself was corrupt. But he had at least enough sense to realize it's time for a little bit of shock treatment. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but can you imagine in that weather, in that temperature, that many days, having that package delivered? They didn't exactly have UPS. And they didn't have like refrigerated camels. How it came was how it came. Smell and all, view and all. And you imagine opening that box and going, oh my goodness, what horrific thing is this? That Levite was trying to get the nation to see in a visible way the way God was viewing the sin that had just happened in Gibeah. And guys, sometimes when we look at the sin in our nation today and the things we're approving of and the things we're allowing, we get so used to it, we don't see how horrific and stinky it is to heaven. But in heaven's viewpoint, it is horrific and it is smelly. And if it takes shock treatment to wake us up, God will allow shock treatment. You know, I never have been much of one of those to go and do the billboard thing of an aborted baby and it's on the side of the trucks. But I'll tell you, when I do see those pictures, I realize, you know what? That reminds me of that Levite. It reminds me of this story every time I see those, because that is the only way that some people will even realize what we're doing to our babies. We're not only killing them, we're ripping them apart limb by limb inside the womb. And because it's protected and quiet and we can't see it, nobody hears the silent scream. Nobody knows the travesty. We know it, but what do we do about it? And again, I know we can't change the laws as Christians, but we can pray and we can speak up about it and ask for God's mercy and say what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And then when these other issues come up, what happens when you begin to let one thing go, then the other thing comes along. Well, that's not so bad. We'll let them do that. If they want to live that way, it doesn't affect us. Well, now they want to teach it to our kindergartners. If you've been reading the news about sexual immorality and all kinds of things, and what we're going to say, once we're broken in, you just kind of let it go. We can't stop that, right? So you let it go. The bottom line is, guys, the further it goes, there's no end to it. And so this Levite actually was onto something in the sense, at least in this instance, of some shock treatment. I'm not saying that we should, obviously, that we should do something this horrific. But he realized this would get a response from the nation. And indeed, it's going to get a response from the nation. By the way, Gibeah and the Benjamites would have gotten one of these packages. Can you imagine? I wonder if he sent like the head to them or something. I don't know. You're going to have to see the person you did this to. Wow. Intense. I look at verse 30. And it was so that all who saw it said, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. And look at the three things he tells them to do. Consider it, confer, and speak up. Guys, that's exactly what we ought to be doing as a society today. We need to be considering what's going on in our society today with the abortion, with sexual immorality, with all the corruption. We need to consider it. We need to confer. Or what do we do to fix it? How do we deal with it? And then we need to speak up and do something. And everyone, I think, oftentimes stands around to wait for the other person to do something. We need to make sure that we're vocal. Don't be afraid to speak up for what's right. Again, we're the light of the world. If we lose our light, all they have is darkness. And so we need to shine that light and be that light to them. And again, the Lord shows us in his word that we're to be that light and we're to stand up. You know, it's amazing to me to see what we're doing and how blind our nation has become. Guys, we're blinded in so many areas, and now we're becoming blinded to the very thing where even terrorism coming to the heart of our nation now. Terrorism moving in. Ever so many months now, we have something new. You know, you have the Fort Hood thing, and recently, then you have San Bernardino, then you have Orlando, and all these things. It's not going to stop if we don't take it seriously. And again, this is not a speech about, you know, Islam or anything to do with politics. The point is, it's a side of a nation that is blinded. And what's amazing to me is to watch these things happen. And I used to watch some of the immorality that would take place and watch people on TV take up for the immorality. You know what's happening now when the terrorist attacks are happening? They're taking up for those that are involved in the terrorist attacks. The Sonai Brothers, or whatever the name was, and the Boston bombing, they ended up on the front of some magazine as almost these heroes. You know, be like these guys. I'm thinking, how does a society get so twisted in their mind that they approve of the kind of things we're approving of without people speaking up in mass and then even glorifying it? Here's how it happens. Judges 19. It's when a nation turns away from the Word of God, when they don't have the Word of God as a standard. But let's remember to pray for our nation and to pray for where we're going, because this can't keep going. At some point, God has to bring a halt to this. He can't just allow it to go on and on and on without doing something. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that when blood hits the ground that's unrighteously been spilled, heaven hears about it. How much unrighteous blood has been spilled in America? Now, I know as we repent as a nation and ask forgiveness, much of that comes under the blood of Christ. But what about the blood that doesn't? So we need to pray for our nation. We need to ask for God to have mercy on our nation and to restore us. And guys, also, you know, I want to just encourage any of you here today that you don't know the Lord. As you see something like this, are you the type of person who's been one of those anything goes people? You know, anything goes. If it's right for you, it's okay. We don't need to, you know, voice our opinion or use the Word of God or talk about the Bible. Listen, if you don't make a stand and stand up for what's right, you're going to become just like everyone else, and it only goes farther and farther down the scale of corruption. We as Christians first need to be the ones speaking up. But if you don't know the Lord, you need to meet Him. You need to know that He will forgive you of the life you've been living. The Bible says Jesus came to the earth as God in human form, died on a cross, rose 3 days later, and if you confess your sins and ask Him into your heart, you will be born again. He will save you. What a great day to celebrate your spiritual freedom, where Jesus Christ sets you free from sin and gives you new life. I want to end today by praying for our nation, praying for us as believers to make the stand that we need to make, to be those that would be a witness for the Lord in the days in which we live. And then if any of you want to give your life to the Lord, to give you an opportunity to do that today and to know true freedom, not just national freedom, but true freedom in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, as we read a chapter like chapter 19 in the book of Judges, Lord, it's a very sobering chapter. To think that a nation could become so corrupt and, Lord, so turned away from You that truly anything goes and everything goes, Lord, to where it not only was, if it's okay for You, I'm not going to worry about it, but if it's okay for You, You can bang on someone's door and take something away from them by force. Lord, we are headed down that path as a society.
Thank you for joining us today in this interesting passage of Judges. Here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is working his way through this Old Testament book, and there are lessons for us to learn from these people who lived during that time. Samson is one of the last judges mentioned in this book, and he had quite a tale. He was meant to live as a Nazarite, committing himself to the Lord and the Lord's things, but he had a straying eye that led him straight to all the wrong women. He was drawn toward Philistine women, who tricked him more than once, and ultimately led to his downfall. But did you know that God mentions Samson in the book of Hebrews when He refers to many people who had great faith? When you think of the faith heroes of the Bible, Samson is probably not going to make your short list, right? But in God's eyes, He sees things differently. That should be an encouragement for you today, as you may not see yourself as anything, but God sees you differently and uniquely. He recognizes strengths in you that you may not even be able to observe from your perspective. Keep these things in mind today as you go about the day, whether you feel purposeful in what you're doing or if you're wondering what in the world God is doing. He's there with you, and He is for you, excited to see your faith lived out. That's all for today's teaching, but we invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, where you can be directed to our church's service times. Just click on the Calvary Knoxville link. Once more, our website is thewaymedia.net. We look forward to you joining us again for Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.